Samuel chapter 1. The end of the chapter, please. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 26. This is Hannah to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Luke chapter 1, please. Our next scripture, Luke chapter 1. We'll read briefly here. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. And here is Zacharias and Elizabeth, and it refers to John the Baptist. Verse 66, what manner of child shall this be? Verse 76, and thy child shall be called the prophet of the highest. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. So on. Verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his shewing unto Israel. Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 2 for our next scripture, please, for a few minutes. Exodus 2. Just a couple of verses there at the commencement of that chapter, Exodus 2. And most know the context. Verse 2, Exodus 2. The woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And then, of course, in verse 3, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and all the things that she did, put the child therein, and she laid it at the flags by the river's brink. Now into Judges for a very brief reference, chapter 13 of Judges. And here it's Manoah and the angel. Verse 12 of Judges 13. Judges 13, verse 12. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And I'll read one more, which has already been referred to. 2 Timothy chapter 3 to conclude. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. Just read very briefly there. Some of these things have been referred to already. At the end of the chapter, he says now, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, and so on. And that's all we'll read for a few minutes. I've been interested to listen carefully to the ministry this afternoon, which we believe is very fitting for present conditions. And we have thought a good wee bit now about spiritual children in our assemblies. I would like to follow a little further on the same line, only say this about it. Let us talk for a few minutes about the physical children that we have in the realm of family life. Children are a heritage from the Lord. I would like to just pass on a very simple word on our children and how we can see them raised and preserved and eventually saved, brought into the assembly. The devil today is attacking two spheres. He hates the assembly of God's people. And he's trying to destroy the family unit in our world today. We believe that parents can still raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Lovely to see the families here today and the conferences that we go to across this nation and other nations. And remember that if the Lord be not come, they're the men and women of tomorrow. And we are hoping that from that particular part of society, God will save them. We'll be into the assembly in due course, if the Lord be not come. Now, if you're a parent here today, I would like to suggest that if you have a care for your children, you would like to see them do well. And we would like a little direction, if we could, as to how we could raise them for God in a world where nothing is absolute any longer. Everything is gray. Principles don't count. And so on and so forth. Or maybe you're a grandparent here today. And maybe this has been stirred in your heart of recent days and months maybe, for aught I know. You raised your children and saw them saved, and they're in the assembly today. And now in their turn, they're married and they're raising little ones. Conditions are worsening, as we've been reminded. We have a concern today for every young pair, father and mother, that are raising children for God. I would like to suggest that in 1 Samuel chapter 1, with this in view, here is a parent's desire that the Lord would grant a child to the union. Could be that there's a married couple here today, for aught I know, and this has been the desire of your heart for a number of months, maybe years, that the Lord would grant a child into the family circle. It's a strange thing that in some circles today, the parents that don't want children are the ones that have them in abundance. And those that desire children can't have them. Life and death are in the Lord's hand. And that's an area of family life that needs to be carefully handled. Here's a mother. She had a deep concern in her soul that the Lord would grant her a child. Now, I can't take time to go into all the background, but Hannah was godly. The day arrived. Went into her home. Came little Samuel. I read you the scripture. He's likely a few months old or maybe a little older. And she comes back to the house of God, to Shiloh yonder long ago, to the old priest, Eli. And he misunderstood her months before. He looked at her and she looked at him, Eli, for this child I prayed. And the Lord hath granted me my petition. And with all the anguish and affliction she went through, she's prepared to give them to the Lord. hope that's our desire today as parents. But in the goodness of God, the little ones that come into the family life and the family circle will be given to the Lord for His service and pleasure in days that may lie ahead. A very, very delicate area here. Maybe someone's crying to God today that the Lord would grant a child. Or maybe you already have children and you're asking the Lord for more. Remember, each one of them has got a soul that will live forever. And the more children we bring into the world, the greater the responsibility before the God of heaven. I had thought of another godly couple recently, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, their story and history in that family. They're fairly well on in years in life. And here's the interest that they have, that one day into their family arrives an outstanding individual in New Testament days, John Baptist. And whenever the father's mouth is opened and the song is given and different things about the child, I read you one or two things about it. Now here's a growing child. You see, in the first one, it's a granted child. Now the child has come into the family. Here's the next installment. Ah, the child is growing. A growing child. That's the devotion of every parent, to see their child grow mentally, intellectually, physically, and every other way, that they might be a good citizen in the family and in the country and in the city, wherever your lot is cast. Now I understand that John the Baptist was a unique one, because he separated from his mother's womb and the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was born a sinner, no doubt, but he was commissioned for a special work, to prepare a people for the Lord, to be the prophet of the highest. And he swayed the nation, as we know. Where did it all start? It started in the home. Godly Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, much could be said. I don't want to say too much about that, but I want to continue on. I want to come to what's really on my heart. Here's another couple, Amram and Jochebed. They have another concern. They want to guard their child. Now you all know the history book, what happened. It was troublous times in Egypt at this particular era. And all the men, children that were born in Egypt, were being put into the Nile. Imagine in this home, when into it arrived Moses. If I have learned it, studied it correctly, he was the youngest of three. Jochebed would look at him, and the father, Amram, would say, "This is a fair child. This child has a future. There's something about this little one that's fair to God. We have a deep concern to see them guarded and preserved through life." And it's pretty obvious now that physically the parents could hide the little one no longer. You all know the story. Finally, where we read, he's in the ark of bulrushes at the side of the great river Nile. A mother that's deeply concerned about him leaves him there, not to fate, no. The older sister is watching. The daughter of Pharaoh comes on the scene and all the rest. But here's the point I want to make. Here are parents. They have a deep concern for their children and they want to guard them from the world. On the condemnation of Egypt. I would like to ask parents right now from my heart, have you a deep desire in your soul to see your children guarded from a cruel world? The world out there this afternoon wants to change their identity. They love to get a child from a Christian environment and background and make them just like they are themselves, that they might lose all their identity relative to divine things and to challenge what the parents have taught in earlier years. They might ruin them for God. One of our greatest privileges is to raise our children for the glory of God. I would like to just suggest one or two wee things here. If your children are at school age and you have certain principles that you go by in your home, and our brother Paisley has covered a number of them. For example, to have a family altar and read to them the Holy Scriptures as appropriate and all the rest of it. And there are certain do's and don'ts. I would suggest you tell your children why you won't allow them to go certain places and do certain things that others can do. Now let me talk to the children for a minute. You're here today and you're a teenager. Young teenager or middle teenager or maybe a little older or younger. And you are raised in a Christian home. And maybe you're not saved. We're delighted to see you here today. And you have maybe never verbalized the thoughts of your heart and your personality and the ambitions that you have. When you get frustrated and sometimes maybe annoyed and upset because you're hemmed in, you're not allowed to do certain things. But I can understand exactly how you feel. If I was raised in a godly home, and I was restrained in many ways, I resented it. But you see, our folk were godly, as I've told you. But one wee thing, they never could tell us why we didn't do certain things. And I said to you parents today, the fear of God, tell your son and tell your daughter why. Now let me just give you a very simple illustration and pass on. I was in an area here recently, and it wasn't L.A., it wasn't the U.S., and early in the morning, I had my laptop, as we call it, the technical notebook with me, and the little boy that was coming to the meetings, we were preaching there every night, he was 12 years of age. And he said, could I come round and into your room and watch what you do and how you get into these programs early in the morning? And I said to the boy, certainly, son. You come, you'll be welcome. He says, what time can I be here for? I said, you'll be here at 6 a.m. It's the winter time. He lived a little distance away from where I was staying, and I said to him, I'll go up and bring you down. Oh, he says, no. That morning there was a snowstorm, and that young boy, 12 years of age, made his way right to where I was staying and into the room, and I was privileged to show him what we were trying to do. And all of a sudden we got interested in what we were doing. I want the parents to listen carefully to this. And he said to me, he said, can you get into the internet? I says, I can. He says, I would love it. But I didn't tell the young boy, I told him afterwards, but I didn't tell him on this occasion. He has got a laptop and he has got a desktop, but he has no modem in it. The father and mother were intelligent. They wouldn't let their child get into the internet. Now I know, brethren, I'm aware. I've been around a little. There's a tremendous lot of positive things in it. But associated with that, the flip side is there's a lot of negative things in it that will warp your mind and will ruin a child. You have a responsibility, and so have I, to make sure that a child doesn't get into it. Because the only way you can monitor it is have something that doesn't have the module and the monitor in it and the modem and so on. I don't want to give you a dissertation on computers. That's not my point. But my point is this here, that here are children and they're exposed to all kinds of things. But the parents are interested in guarding her children. You're interested today in guarding your little one. And there are other principles we can learn here as the time comes when you have to leave and let them go out into the world. They're no longer a hothouse plant. They have to go out and face the world with all that it has to offer. But if we have done our homework, God will see that the child will be preserved. Well, let me say the next thing here, on the next idea. Here's Samson. And here's his father, Manoah. The mother's name's not mentioned. They have a deep concern about their child as well. And he's an outstanding individual in the scripture. But they have a deep desire before God. And they're asking, before he comes in, how shall we order the child? That's governing the child. I hope today you have a deep concern before God as our children move out through into the different stages of life. That we can govern our children and order their lives. Now, I agree with our brother Paisley. We can't be dictators. And as they get older, they have to come into the role of being their friend. Let me talk a little for a minute about, we have young sisters here today and young brethren, and if the Lord be not come in the next few years, you'll likely take to yourself a partner in life. Let me remind you again that the most important step that you and I can take in this life after conversion to God is the partner that you will select to live with and to share life with. Till the Lord comes or death do us part. If you're a Christian father and mother here today, could I suggest give your children a little advice as is appropriate. Now we have been this way, as many have in the audience and others haven't. One day, I got a phone call from our youngest boy. He was then 18 years of age. In the assembly, having a little interest in divine things. He was away from home. He called me up and he said, "Dad, I want to ask you a question. What would you say if I told you I'm getting engaged to be married and I'm 18? I would like to ask the father and mothers here today, what would you say? I'm here today to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Beloved in Christ. What I said to him? I said, John, you make sure that you're in a divine purpose. And if it's the partner that the Lord wants for you, go ahead. You have a tremendous responsibility ahead. Eight years later, they're happily married, in some measure living for God. That's a very, very delicate area, brethren. I hope today, we're prepared to govern our children. Teenager, young 20s, don't be a bit afraid to confide in your parents. We taught R3. If you have something bothering you, whatever it is, let's sit down and discuss it. You keep communication open with your children. Are you honest and sincere with your little ones? Maybe now they're mature. If they have got a difficulty, do they feel comfortable to sit down and talk to you? Certainly we've all made mistakes. Let's keep the line of communication open. If you have to talk intimate things with your children, be prepared to do it. I want to tell you, the world out there doesn't miss them. And fathers feel awkward with their daughters. We always try to be kind to our children. There's mothers to sons and fathers to daughters, whatever it would be, with this in view. How can we order the child? Said enough about that. Our brother Paisley has given us the outline, the autobiography, or the biography of Timothy. I have called him a godly child. And that's the delight of every parent. We've done our homework right with all the ups and downs of life. The day will come when from the union there will be a son or a daughter that are godly and delight the parents and delight the heart of God and adorn the assembly on the doctrine of our God and Savior Jesus Christ in all things. If Paul could have talked to Lois and Eunice before he walked out that day to say goodbye to this earth, I'm sure that kind words would have been spoken about Timothy. Brethren, it's a very, very, very delicate area. And when you touch your children, you touch the parents. Let's be kind to them. Let's be honest with them. Let's tell them as it is. Always leave the door of communication open. In our family, our three are all married. And all three still feel absolutely comfortable to come into my study there at home, to close the door, and to sit down and to talk intimate things. Can you do that with your children? Oh, brethren, our biggest missionary endeavor in our world is to see our families saved and preserved and kept till Jesus comes. It would be delightful to have them all in the assembly, certainly, but they're all individuals, and they all have to stand before God at the bema if they get saved. They've got to give an account of their life and service for Him. You can't force certain issues, but you can recommend and you can suggest. There are fathers here in my age group. You have sons and daughters. What's your relationship today with your boy? If he has a big decision to make, will he come and talk to you about it? Or your daughter? These are very vital things. Children, let me talk to you for a minute before I sit down. The greatest privilege that you have ever had on this side of eternity is to be born into a family where father and mother are saved and one to honor Christ. If you're not saved today, I hope the day that you get saved will be soon. And whenever you do get saved, you'll realize what a tremendous privilege it is. And some of us don't realize our godly parents until they're taken from us. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Children to parents. Parents to children. And then it's a very difficult role as a grandparent to interfere on how the children should be brought up. That's a very, very delicate issue. I won't touch it here today, safe to say, grandparents, be wise. Don't push your point. Leave with the folk what the Bible teaches on the issue at hand. God will bless his beloved saints and see our little ones saved and kept, that we might meet them in heaven when days on earth are through. The Lord stir our hearts this afternoon for his own name's sake.